Fred Film Radio, Venice Film Festival, Italy.
Fred Film Radio, I'm Matt Nicucci from the 75th Venice International Film Festival. So pleased to be joined by producer Jan Philip Rimshaw and editor Bob Morawski.
Correct, yes, sir.
Thank you very much for that. Thank you for joining us. We're going to be talking about an incredible kind of... It was just such an incredible experience to watch it for me last night, and it's, I think, one of the movie events of this year. Orson Welles, The Other Side of the Wind. What a fascinating story. I wonder if maybe we could start by maybe introducing the film a little bit for listeners who may not be familiar with it.
So the film is a satire of kind of, you know, 70s, the new wave, an older filmmaker trying to make a comeback film. So similar to what Orson was doing, so slightly kind of autobiographical. John Huston plays this aging filmmaker. It's the last day. It starts with his death, last day of his life. And he's in the process of shooting a film. His funding is running out, so he's feeling a lot of pressure. And it happens to be his birthday, and everybody's throwing him a party. So the film takes place in a kind of a documentary style where we go from morning to evening, and then the film itself is intercut with the filmmaker's film, which is also titled The Other Side of the Wind.
Right. So where do we begin? Obviously, the film was never completed, it was kind of just, where did you find all that footage, that wealth of footage that was sort of just...
It wasn't found necessarily. In one case, yes, but... You know, it's the film. The negative was held under court order in Paris, so it wasn't so much a process of finding it as much as getting the rights to it.
Court order? What's that kind of?
So it's the rights situation was complicated. One of the reasons for it was because the negative was held in Paris, so we were dealing with Napoleonic law, okay. And so there's a very different kind of split of rights where it's a droit d'artiste, your moral rights, and there were three parties who were not on the best of terms, so it was just needed to navigate and make sure that all three signed off before that negative could be moved.
Bob, so you end up with all this footage. I mean, what's your impression of it when you first see what's...
Well, when I first saw it, I thought about 15 years ago, and I thought what I saw was really cool and interesting and visual, and had a strange kinetic style. Some of it I thought was a mess, frankly, it didn't seem like it would go together. But the more I started watching it, the more I realized that there actually was a movie in there. The more we started putting it together and putting the little pieces, because Orson shot it over a period of 6 years with a wide range of locations and cast members going in and out. Some actors were shot and then reshot with different... The same character was shot with a different actor in some instances. And he had developed a style of shooting where even if he only had two people in a scene, he would shoot, and the other two people in the scene would be shot sometimes 2 years later in a different location. So that sort of fractured style of production made it really difficult. But, you know, because he was Orson Welles, ultimately it all cut together and was incredible when it came together, because it felt like a real movie and it felt cohesive and it felt emotional, which I thought was the most important thing.
So are you looking at what he was making at the time? Like, say, for instance, F for Fake.
Yes, definitely looking at F for Fake, because a lot of the style in F for Fake is the style he was using in this movie in terms of the fast cutting and the irreverence of that movie. But also, you know, looking at his other movies and knowing how he would deal with the actors and the sort of themes that were pervasive throughout his entire canon of filmmaking were recurring. So... But the best indicator was the footage that he had actually edited himself for Other Side of the Wind. He personally cut about 30% of the movie.
Right.
So, I mean, that was a really good guide for us in terms of how the rest of the movie should be cut, but also in terms of, the attitude of the story.
For the rest of it, there are sort of challenges then, you know, that you're kind of looking at and you're sort of going like, okay, so I got to ask myself what Orson Welles would have done in this situation.
Exactly, but ultimately you just have to let the material speak to you and look at everything that you have, hope that you have everything, because in some instances we didn't even know whether we had all the footage, and there were a few scenes where we determined that he only partially shot the scene, and we were always looking for the one guy out of three that was missing, and we realized that he never shot that part. So that was also the process. It was always a process of discovery, But once we had all the footage, we just by listening to Orson direct the actors, we knew what his preferences were in terms of the takes and the performances. But the footage really spoke to what the scene should be. And in addition, we had Peter Bogdanovich, who was part of the original production, and Frank Marshall, who had worked on the movie originally, to also guide us in terms of what they thought Orson's intentions would be as well.
So what's pretty extraordinary about this film actually existing now is that it's also going to be available to a lot of people on Netflix. But I'm thinking it's pretty special that you can do that nowadays, to just kind of have this movie out there to people who may not be as familiar with Orson Welles as, you know, film connoisseurs would be, or, you know, film fans. So it's pretty, I mean, what do you think Orson Welles still kind of has to offer to people who may not know him, or, you know, just in general to people who want to get into cinema?
I mean, he's a master filmmaker, so there's a lot to learn. Each film is interesting in its own right. I think even what you would, you know, term as a lesser Orson Welles film is still a masterwork in directing, and he was so amazing in the way that he worked with actors. I think that's what we found out through the process, is, you know, through listening to the dailies and kind of figuring out how nuanced what he was looking for in performances, how particular it was. It was surgical. It was just like, you know, just stressing of one syllable or just a raising of an eyebrow. So, you know, for us, I mean, I certainly learned a lot just, you know, from working on this film. I know that for film students, for, you know, people who are just going to be introduced to Orson Welles through this film, you know, there's 12 more and they're all fascinating. So, you know, and in terms of Netflix, I believe that, you know, there's a few films that are available on the platform already. And so, you know, hopefully this will be, in a way, a portal and an introduction to, you know, a master filmmaker's body of work.
Yeah, fingers crossed. Bob, would you like to add anything, just a final comment?
I would, because I think what's also surprising is how contemporary the film seems, just in terms of the editing style, the shooting style, how ahead of its time it was. I think now is actually a great time for the movie, just because of a lot of the themes about filmmaking, the themes about betrayal, all these kind of universal themes that people will respond to at any period. And the very fresh feeling of the filmmaking, it doesn't feel like an old movie. You know, it feels like a movie from now. And I think that's a testament to Orson. And maybe it's good that it didn't come out at that time, because maybe people would have, like, not responded as well. But I really hope people like it now. And I think they will. And being able for people to be able to see it on Netflix or in the theater and watch it again and again, I think it's the kind of movie that will get richer the more times you view it. And things will become clearer, and it'll be the kind of movie that people will want to rewatch. And I think that's kind of the beauty of being on Netflix, is that they can keep going back and watching it again and picking up all these different nuances.
And I wish we had more time to chat, but unfortunately we're going to have to leave it at that. But thank you very much for joining us. It was a great pleasure talking with you.
Thank you. Ciao.
And this is Fred Film Radio, the Festival Insider.
Fred Film Radio, 24/7 on fred.fm and smartphone apps.